And then we had I thought that prayer chain on Friday night last night was last Friday night was wonderful. And I believe we ought to do that again this Friday night and have another prayer chain, all-night prayer chain on Friday night, and of course, fasting. I want to encourage you to go out and visit folks and try to get people to come in to the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I just feel good. I appreciate what Brother Wayne said and the people that responded. And it's so great to see Brother Randy up here, amen, shouting and feeling the power of God, amen, back a little while ago. I don't know, it's been a long time ago, seemed like now. I'm not sure how long ago it was. But, I was in revival here when I was an evangelist. We had a baptismal service on the last night of the revival. And I remember Brother Randy shouting and worshiping God. And one time back, a little while ago, I was praying and I saw him doing it again. And I went and told him that I saw him. I saw him shouting again. And I can't remember exactly what he told me, but I said, I feel like the Lord. Well, I saw him back then. I saw him shouting like he did that night. And I told him, I said, I believe I saw that because the Lord wants to do it again. Amen. That's what I believe I told you. Well, the Lord's doing it again, isn't he? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God wants to do it again in a lot of lives. Praise God. I appreciate what Brother Wayne said. I'm going to read from Revelation 3 and we'll just see. Because some of the things Brother Wayne said, I was going to say, but you never know. Sometimes when the Lord says, verily, verily, I mean, he doesn't stutter. He just can't, but he can't get it out like that. And sometimes he says it twice because he wants us to listen. And maybe there was some that was distracted or some that maybe came in a little late. And so I have some things to say to you, and I pray that the Lord will help me to say them just right. Verse 1 of chapter 3, it says, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And I want to preach on this question. When is a church pronounced dead by Jesus Christ? When? Amen. Now, I'll just start off by saying that I've heard some tremendous messages on this passage of Scripture. I'll never forget Brother Don Rich preaching on the autopsy of a dead church. That's the way he said it. The autopsy of a dead church. And I'll just be honest, any time Don Rich preaches, it's good to me. And that was a wonderful message. But one other message that stuck out in my mind was a message by an old Indian preacher that's already in glory named Leon Buzzard. And I always loved to hear Brother Leon Buzzard preach. And he was a tremendous man of God. But anyway, Brother Buzzard preached again, his title was The Autopsy of a Dead Church, and he said he went to the county coroner and asked for the reasons of death. And the man gave him five reasons that they put on a death certificate. And so he said, let's go through these reasons for death and see if these reasons right here can apply to the church. He said, first of all, sometimes people die because of an act of God. He said it's because of a flood or hurricane or tornado or lightning or something along that line. And then he preached on, you know, God's not going to kill his church. So it couldn't be that this church died because of an act of God. An act of God in the church is going to bring life. And so that couldn't be the possibility. He said the second reason that people die is sometimes because of murder. And he said, while I realize that Satan would like to destroy the church and even evil men would like to snuff out the church, there is no devil and no man that could kill the church, for the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Amen. And then he also said there's a possibility that somebody could die because of an accident, maybe a car wreck. Maybe something along those lines, a tree limb falling or somebody falling in a way that would kill them. An accident takes place. But even if somebody does have an accident or a church does have something take place that didn't seem planned, the fact is that God can raise people from the dead. He's going to keep his church alive no matter what. Amen. The fourth reason was the possibility that, amen, of old age or natural causes. And he said there are no natural causes that can cause a church to die. The church don't get old as long as the life of God's in it. Amen. The church has no diseases that can get a hold of it as long as it stays holy and pure. There's nothing that can kill the church by a natural way. But then he said, finally, he said, there was one thing that I think can kill a church. And he said, suicide. He said, if a church dies, it's not because God did it. And it's not because man could do it or the devil could do it. And it's not because that even an accident or just natural causes or old age could have it. He said, if a church dies, it'd have to be because we allowed it to happen. Amen. It had to be because that we of our own free will would do it. Well, I believe that there's a great truth right there. But I don't want the church to die. If God don't want it to die, I sure don't want it to die. I don't believe that you do either. There's some other things about this scripture that's interesting to me. Up to this point, the Lord complimented every church. In fact, even the ones that he rebuked, he gave them a compliment before he rebuked them. And Laodicea was the only church that he had no compliment at all for them. But for the most part, even like Thyatira, who was a very worldly church, he gave them some commendation before he rebuked them. Now, he never really did, amen, give a compliment to this whole church. He complimented the few. He did not compliment the church. Amen. And this was something I want you to notice. He didn't tell them they had false doctrine. He didn't notice that they were having an attack of the devil. There wasn't persecution. And it didn't seem as though that there was poverty. In fact, Sardis was a place. You ever heard of King Midas who had the golden touch? This is where he was supposed to be from, Sardis. Amen. And there was a king called Croesus that was supposed to be King Midas. It wasn't nothing magical. He just knew how to grow the economy. There's a rich church. There's a wise church. Y'all ever heard of Aesop? Aesop's fables? That's where he was from, Sardis. Amen. There's a wise people. But it's carried over in the church. I'm sure they was fine. Everything was well. And they had works. They had a name. But he said, I have not found thy works perfect before God. Now, I don't understand that. They had works, but they weren't perfect. What did he mean by that? That seemed to be the great condemnation. What was the problem there? Was it that their motive was wrong? You know, you can do a lot of good things and have a bad motive and it not count with God at all. The Bible says you have not because you ask not, and you ask and have not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust. Can I tell you what? Praying's not beneficial if it's something that you do out of your own self-interest. In fact, let me just tell you, singing and preaching and whatever else we do, if it's to glorify us, then it's not much count. It just didn't. Amen. I've not found your works perfect before me. What did he mean by that? Did he mean that somehow, some way they was continuing the works of this church? Because I believe they at one time was a fully alive church. But somehow, somewhere along the line, they kept on working but didn't have the life in their works. Like one fellow requested prayer for his church, said, would y'all pray for our church? Said, the blower is still blowing, but the fire's out. Amen. Amen. I think that sometimes people are like that. They're still doing things, but I don't know if they've prayed enough to have that life in their works. Amen. They're still singing. They're still going through the motions, so to say, but they just don't have the prayer life. Is it because that the works were just surface works? Maybe they weren't working anymore for the glory of God. Have you ever seen somebody that would work for a promotion? I mean, if there was a position in the church open, like a deacon or a Sunday school position or something, they would be all spiritual and holy and wanting everybody to see what they was doing, how many doors they was knocking on, how early they'd come to pray, how much they'd testify, how great they'd shout. But when the positions was all closed, guess what? They wasn't as inspired to work anymore. Amen. Can I tell you right now, maybe, I don't know why these people's works was not perfect before God. I don't know. Could it be that they were proud? Is that possible? They had a reputation. You know, I've seen great churches that had a great history that came down to it. We are this church. This can't happen in our church. You know what? This church won't grow just because it's named Fairland Holiness Church. And I have a feeling God won't do a whole lot of things to bless our pride. Maybe, even though there was no false doctrine, and maybe, even though there was no immorality, maybe, even though there was no great worldliness, maybe the reason Jesus didn't compliment them before he told them what was wrong, maybe they were too proud to take a compliment from the Lord. Maybe it had just ruined them a little more. And I tell you right now, there's a danger in getting proud because we don't depend on God. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Let me tell you something. Proud people do not depend on God. And so we can do it by our talent. We can sing, we can preach, we can teach, we can do it because of our personality. We know how to smile, shake hands, and we are such friendly people, we can attract folks ourselves. Let me tell you something. That might be okay for some type of business or some type of community thing, but this is not a business and this is not a community thing. This is a church. Amen. And we have to humble ourselves and depend completely upon the Lord. Oh, yes, we do. Oh, yes, we do. So here this church died. I've heard a lot of great messages on this few. I mean, listen, they were the few among the many. Aren't you glad for some people that can stay separated and even though they're in the minority, they'll still do what's right? Amen. They were the pure amongst the defiled. These others were defiled by pride or wrong motives or something. I don't know what it was, but they were pure in their testimony. They were people, amen, that were indeed going to be blessed above others. They were going to have a commendation that nobody else had. They was going to be able to walk with Jesus in white because they were worthy. Hallelujah. But this is my question. When does Jesus pronounce a church dead? That's my question. You see, this country, back a few years ago, there was a columnist, and I can't remember, but I can't remember who first put it out there. They said, there will be a day in America, if it continues the way it is, where people that are dependent upon government. Now, I hope you understand, if somebody's really disabled, I don't mind giving them help at all. And I'm talking about really disabled. Somebody said they's disabled not too long ago just because they's too slow to work. I don't know if that's a disability just to be. I think you can speed some things up there. Well, are y'all listening or did y'all not think that's funny or not? It's sad, really. The truth of the matter is there's some people that's disabled that I fear. You know, what's so strange is people that not really disabled can get it, and some folks that I know of that really need it have a hard time. I don't know how that they judge such things. But at any rate, I'm not against that. I'm not against helping somebody in the short term or helping orphans or anything. You all understand me, don't you? But there is a group of people that's learned to work the system. There is a group of people that's lazy and no good for nothing that aren't ever planning on ever trying to work and make a living. And the theory was that when that group of people reaches 50.1%, they will continue to vote for politicians that will continue to give them stuff and raise taxes on the folks that work and eventually deplete America, and America will implode because it will not have enough workers to sustain all the give outs. Hey, listen, when you got 9 workers supporting 1/10 of the population, that's one thing. But if you got 4 workers supporting 6 non-workers, buddy, that ain't gonna happen right there. You know it. So when America becomes a place where it's gonna completely collapse is when the non-productive, lazy people are in the majority and can vote for no good politicians that would steal from the Americans' riches and cause us to go down. Now, that's America. Y'all see the danger of that? Y'all see the danger of that? Because listen, you know, I've read, if you took away all the money of all the millionaires, I think it would fund the federal government for just a few days. I mean, we're gonna have to get a little understanding about some things. We can't go on like we're even going right now. But do you realize because of Obamacare, in a few years, more people are going to be dependent and they're going to need more money? That's just the way it is. I don't want to discourage you, but that's the way it is. But that's the way it is in our nation. I want to ask you, how is it in a church? How many living people does it take to keep a church alive? has to be more than a few. Because Jesus looked at the church and he said, I pronounce you dead. You are dead as a church. You are dead as a church. He said, now you got a few. There has to be more than a few to keep a church alive. Now, a few can have a great influence. I'll have to be honest with you. Just a few people that come to church ready to worship God can affect a whole lot of people. Just a few folks intent on revival can affect a whole lot of people. I understand that. But there comes a time, there comes a tipping point where the dependent people who never pray through enough to have a good service, who never pray through enough to have any life to their works, who never really are deeply spiritual, are a bigger burden on the church than what the people that have life in it can really spread throughout it. So my question is, when does that happen? When does it happen? I don't know. The Lord knows. But I want to ask you right now, is that the way we want to even take a chance on being? I don't believe so. Amen. We're going to have to get to the place where that we come to church to give life. Hallelujah. That we're in this church not to just come and wait for somebody else to pray through and get anointed about the service. We come to church to contribute life to this church. Amen. And as long as people are being burdens, listen, I want you to keep on coming. If you're a burden, we want to help you. We really do. But the fact is, we have got to have a great number, not just a few, that's living folks that have a live prayer life, that have a live witness and a testimony in this community. We need a group of people that have a live, amen, energy about them when they come to church, that they can affect those around them. Amen. Now, I have to be honest with you. There's been times I've been in services where I prayed hours and hours. I got a message burning on my spirit and soul. I came to church. Amen. I got up wanting to have camp meeting. And I'll be honest, by the time I was done, I was so affected by people that did not want to have church that I think I'd have had more life at a Church of Christ seminary somewhere. God bless your heart. But you know what? I'm not downing you. I'm downing me by saying that. Because the truth is, I should be alive no matter how dead anybody else is. And I just want to say this to you. If you come to church and you're on fire and you're feeling like worshiping God, don't look around and see if anybody else is ready. Don't look around. If you get up here and you're singing and you look around and everybody's nodding and nobody, don't you pay no mind to them. You sing. You sing with life in your heart and your spirit, and you lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and work for God the best you can. Amen. Don't allow death to invade your heart. Don't allow death to invade your work. No. Amen. Stay alive. Worship God. If you're praying around this altar and we get done before you're done praying, hey, listen, don't let us kill you. No, please don't. If we're ready to go home, we're tired, and we're just wanting to talk, or we're wanting to play volleyball or whatever. Listen, don't let us dead people hinder you. You pray on. You might pray on until all of us figure out, hey, there's more to living than volleyball. And I'm not against volleyball. Don't you think that. I'm not against visiting. I'll tell you what, when we can pray 5 minutes and visit 2 hours, I don't know about that. I don't know how God looks at that. Amen. God bless your heart. Say, I got to get out and go to bed. That's one thing. I realize there's some people got to get up 4 o'clock in the morning. I'll tell you, God's wanting us to visit with Him. Amen. I believe there ought to be some life. You know, I've been in services where you just didn't want them to end. And it seemed like if even just out of the formalities of it all, you're fixing to try to dismiss, and you couldn't dismiss. There's too much life in it. It just kept on. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. And so I'll just tell you right now, what we need is we need some more people in the prayer rooms. We need some more people praying and reading their Bible every day. We need some more people singing in the song service. We need some more people that'll back the youth choir when they're singing, because, hey, listen, young people can get intimidated when they look out. I mean, listen, if you're not feeling God, it doesn't hurt you to smile and raise your hands anyway and say hallelujah. Does it? Do you think that's carnal? Hey, man, I don't think it at all. I think that there ought to be some life, though. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Friends, we've been feeling the life of God around here. We have had a tremendous revival. Now, I want to ask you, is the majority of Fairland alive? I hope we are. I hope we are. I hope it's not just a few keeping our church going. I hope it's not just a few. Because in order for us to stay alive in God's eyes, we're going to have some more participation. Hallelujah. Amen. Church can't just be... You know what one fella said? He said, we worship our work, and we work at our pleasure, and we play at church. In other words, church is our hobby, our pastime. That's not the way it needs to be, my friend. Amen. We got to have people that put church as the center of their life, because God is the center of their life. This is the most important thing going on in people's lives and in this community, church, right now. We've got the message that could change people's hearts and lives and spirits. Praise the name of the Lord. So I want to ask you, what are we going to do about this? I say, let's have revival. Let's do our best. Amen. You know, the vive, I think it's a Latin for live. Revive. That means live again. Woo! Live again. Oh, that's what some need to do. We need to live again. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to shout again. Worship again. Come to the altar again. Linger in the altar again. Come to the prayer rooms again. Praise the name of Jesus. Oh, that's what we need. We need a revival. Now, Jesus did say there was things that remained, and he said, strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. And it's almost like he couldn't compliment them on what was going on because he's afraid he'd ruin it. I mean, he knew he would ruin it. Amen. And so he said, you know what's still spiritual about your church? You know what's still alive about your church? You need to strengthen that. And from that place of life right there, other life will flow out. Amen. It's not by raising necessarily from the dead. It's by keeping the things alive that we have alive. Glory be to Jesus. I have to admit, I believe we've got some prayer alive, but we need to revive prayer.
prayer. I believe we have some worship alive, but we need to revive worship. I believe, amen, that there's some people that still witness and testify, but we need to do it more and greater and spread life around. I believe holiness is alive in our church, but some need to clean out some things in their houses. Some need to clean up some things, amen, about their internet. And some need to clean up some conversations, amen, and things that they do and things they imagine and ways that they talk to the opposite sex. Amen, there's some cleaning up that some need to do. They just need to revive holiness. Revive the spirit of holiness. Revive it again. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you, America's going to go down unless there's a revival of the work ethic in America. Amen. But I'll tell you what, a church will die unless there's a revival of spiritual life in the things that we know. Listen, Fairland, you know what brings revival. You know what needs to happen. Hallelujah. And it can happen, and I believe it is happening. It just needs to spread. Amen. I remember back when Brother Tim Brim preached us a revival, I saw this. I saw three circles, and it was like really fire. The inner circle, the core of those three circles, amen, was red hot fiery. And I saw people in that core, and from that core is like the whole heat of the church. Amen. There was that core, and then around the core there were some folks that wasn't quite as on fire as the core that was there, but they were still there and worshiping God and faithful and so on, just, you know, what you'd associate with fiery individuals. And then there was the coldest group of the church, and then it was as if I saw people going in and out of these circles. Some would go completely out and come back in the furthest edge of the church, and some would go back and forth from the cold to the more moderately fiery people, and then some would go from the moderate to the core. And God dealt with me that the way to make the church grow is to increase the core. Hallelujah. Listen, that's where the life flows from. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me just tell you, the worshipers have always been the minority. Amen. There's always been a core that made the church what it is. But we got to increase the core. Here we are this first Sunday of this new year, and I'm asking for more prayer warriors. I'm praying for more altar workers around the altar that can have some life in the way they pray for people to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen. That if some demon-possessed person came up here, they'd have fasted and prayed enough where they can cast out devils. I'm preaching to you right now. We need a core of people that's on fire for God. Amen. That the preacher don't have to preach it just right for them to pray fiery. Amen. For the singer don't have to sing it just right for them to worship God in a lively manner. There's something about it. They prayed it through. They prayed it down. They come to church excited about the blessings of God. Oh, yes. Oh, glory. Amen. I don't know about you. I think we've been having life in this revival. God has visited us. And I see some people that's very much stirred. Oh, I'm wanting a core to be increased. I'm wanting greater life. And I sure don't want Fairland to die. I don't think we're there, but I'll just tell you, Jesus pronounced a church dead that only had a few living. And I don't ever want to get to that place where there's just a few. Amen. Amen. Would y'all be seated just a moment? I want to ask you something. I'm just asking. I'd like for everybody 45 and above, stand up. Quite a number, isn't it?
want you to look around. I want you to think about the worshipers, the prayer warriors. People keep church going on Saturday night, Wednesday night, Sunday night. I want you to look around. All right, you can be seated. Amen. Those 44 and under, stand up. Amen. You know what? I see life in every age group, seem like. I really do. But I want you to look around and think about the ones that keep things going. Oh, God. Could we all stand here this morning? Because we need the Lord to keep us alive. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. While heads are bowed, let me ask you. I'm going to ask commitments of people that will, amen, you will read your Bible and pray every day. Would you raise your hand? Just as a commitment. It's not to me, it's to the Lord. That's what I'm asking. All right. You will, as much as within you, you'll be faithful to the house of God. Would you raise your hand? As much as in you is, you'll fast when you can. Would you please keep your head bowed? Raise your hand. I fast when I can. Amen. Amen. How many will come early tonight and pray? Would you raise your hand? Come early for church. I bless you. You keep your heads bowed for just a moment, please. If you would, I want to know. I'm gonna have another all night prayer chain this Friday night, and I may do it where I just put a sign up sheet out there. How many will sign up for an all night prayer chain? Would you just raise your hand? God bless you. Quite a number, a good number. Great Lord, I thank you, Lord. Amen. How many will say, I will do my best to witness and try to get people to come to church? Would you raise your hand? Now, these are just some basic commitments. One more thing. How many will say, I will do my best to promote a spiritual life in every church service? I will come and try to worship the Lord and push the service and do my best to come ready to have church. Would you raise your hand? Glory to God. Glory to God. Lord, now listen. The Lord's going to have to help us to stay inspired to do these things. Sometimes I'll have to tell you the truth. I've been inspired to do all kinds of stuff at the beginning of the year. I was looking at the year and dedicating myself, and just like resolutions to lose weight. Amen. There have been a whole lot of resolutions that just went aside. But I want a live church. We're going to have to strengthen these things. These things are still here. We're just going to have to strengthen them. And from those, could we come? Let's ask God to help us as a church to keep our commitments all year long. Could we? Let's come and pray that God would help us to worship and pray and fast and read our Bibles and witness and be faithful to the house of God like we should. Come and let's seek the Lord.